My name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, and it's great to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. I want to begin my message by reading to you from Psalms chapter 77. The psalm begins with the writer of the psalm in turmoil because of the difficulties that he's facing in his life. He's actually wondering if God has forgotten him, wondering if God has turned his back on him. But then he makes this conscious decision which changes his perspective. He said in verse 11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all of your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." And so the choice the psalmist made was to remember the miracles of God and to meditate on all his mighty deeds. He reminds himself how great God is. He declares, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." As he focuses attention on this power, he begins to reflect on the miracle of the Red Sea parting. And I want you to notice the imagery that he uses as he recounts the story. He continues, with your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. What a miracle. What power. What a God. When the waters saw him, when nature heard his voice, it writhed and convulsed and trembled and obeyed. A way was made where there was no way. You can just see faith rising in the psalmist as his attention turns to the God of miracles. He has not been forgotten. There is still hope. His God is a way maker. His God is the God of miracles. Church, this process that the psalmist went through is one we should all emulate as we go through life. We would do well to shift our eyes off of our circumstances and ponder on who our God is. Well, over the next few weeks, that's exactly what we want to do. Our annual Global Impact Celebration, as you've been hearing, is less than 2 weeks away, and our theme this year is God of Miracles. We're going to be reflecting on the power of God and reminding ourselves of who he is. We're going to be hearing our partners share some of their greatest miracle stories. But I want to tell you, church, we want to hear yours as well. I was talking to Jenny. She said, "I want to display all over the building many testimonies of people's own stories." And so we're asking you over this next week and a half, would you go onto our church website, and you'll see the Global Impact page there under events, and there's a little box you can click on there to share your God of Miracle testimony. It can be just a paragraph. You don't have to put your name on it. But we just want to fill this building with testimonies of how great our God is. The more stories submitted, the more impactful it's going to be. But I really believe that this is a time where God wants to raise our expectations. He wants to shift our focus onto his power. We want to see God as the God of power for our own personal breakthrough. But a major emphasis of the weekend will be to see that God wants to display his power through us as we join him in his mission of saving lives. You see, not only does God want you to know him as the God of miracles for yourself, but he wants everyone to know him in the same way. He wants to use us to bring others to him. And as we do this, we become catalysts in connecting broken lives with the one who has the power to heal and restore and transform. Church, if you've encountered Jesus, then you have been called to service in his mission as well. When Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, we see this illustrated. As Saul is knocked to the ground by the power of God, he hears this voice asking him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And it says in Acts 9 verse 5 that Saul responded, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But get up and enter the city and it will be told to you what you must do." And so we see right at Saul's conversion, there was also a call to service. When the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord seated on his throne with angels around him and saw the foundations of the temple trembling at his voice, he heard a call. The Lord was asking a question that is one we must all hear and answer. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And of course, the response of Isaiah was to throw up his hand in the air and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Church, this is the heart of God. And I pray it becomes more and more the heart of our church. The world needs to know the God of miracles. And as we respond to his call to go, I believe that we will see the power of God and the God of miracles in a greater way. Today, I want to read the story surrounding a miracle of Jesus. It's one of my favorite miracle stories in the Gospels, and I want to use it to make three points that I believe will challenge us to our mission and hopefully inspire us to action. The story is found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. It says, several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the town. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there wasn't room for one more person, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they dug through the clay roof above his head. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there said to themselves, "What? This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were discussing among themselves, so he said to them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up, pick up your mat, and go home and walk?' I'll prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and says, "Stand up, take up your mat, and go home, because you are healed." The man jumped up, took the mat, pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. Then they all praised God. "We have never seen anything like this before," they exclaimed. The first thing I want us to notice is this: the lack of service. Jesus has showed up in Capernaum, and there's a buzz going all through the town. Jesus is in town. Everyone wants to be near him, and it's not long before the house is so packed that it's standing room only, not only inside the door, but there's a large crowd outside as well. Jesus is teaching. Everybody wants to be near him. Everybody wants to hear what he has to say. He's gained quite a reputation as a miracle worker. So four men show up carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Shockingly, they couldn't get through the crowd to Jesus. And so they had to come up with an alternative plan. And when you read this in the Gospels, Mark, who is the writer, to me, he just sort of breezes past this point. But I find myself asking the question, what do you mean, Mark, that they couldn't get through the crowd? If I was lugging my paralytic friend or family member to Jesus, I'm pretty sure I would have been begging and pleading, please make some room. I've got a paralyzed man here. Have some compassion. But apparently no one moved. Why not? Maybe they were thinking, I'm just speculating, but maybe they were thinking, but if I leave, I might lose my spot. If I step outside, I won't be able to hear Jesus myself. And so instead of making a way or offering even to say, hey, let me help you carry the load, they essentially ignored the whole situation. It appears that the focus of everyone was on themselves only. It makes me wonder what I would have done. What would you have done? Would I have given up my spot in line and my seat in front of Jesus? Would I have paid attention to the need outside the door or ignored it because being in the presence of Jesus was just so sweet? What about those four guys? I bet if they hadn't lugged that man around, they might have gotten in the house. They might have heard Jesus teach as well. They certainly would have arrived a lot earlier and had a better chance of getting a front row seat. And to me, the contrast between their hearts and the hearts of those inside is impossible to miss. The ones inside were the consumers. The four outside were the givers. The ones inside were the watchers. The four outside were the workers. The ones inside were the hearers. The ones outside were the doers. And out of all these people, it seems that only four had a heart to serve. Only four had heard the call and saw the need outside the door and responded. I wonder if they hadn't interrupted the meeting, if they had just gone home, if everyone inside that day would have gone home at the end of the day and told everyone they met, man, wasn't that an amazing time with Jesus today? His presence was so sweet. His voice was so captivating. The place was packed out. No other house in town has ever had a crowd like that. It would have likely been deemed a successful meeting. But the man with the need would still be needy and have had no encounter with the God of miracles. Church, these are sobering reflections. And I'll tell you this, that one of the things that concerns me as a pastor is that we would be a church that knows how to fill a building with worshipers, but have no room or empathy for those outside the door. I'm concerned that with good programs and good music and good teaching that we could gather a crowd that is eager to consume, but not so eager to serve. You see, the experience at this house of Jesus is one that is often reflected at other houses of Jesus. The ratio of the consumer to the server is often vast. And one of the things that I'm hearing constantly these days from pastors is that since COVID, it's harder than ever to get people to serve. I hear that all the time. Now, church, it's not my intention to beat anyone over the head today. But I do want to ask some tough, heart-searching questions. And I'm telling you the truth, if I'm honest, I don't always like the answers that are coming out of my own life. Jesus asked Peter one time, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." What was the response of Jesus? "Then feed my sheep." In other words, then Peter, don't ignore the need outside the door. If you've encountered the God of miracles, make a way for others to do the same. You know, one of the reasons why I say that the Global Impact Weekend is the most important on our church calendar is because it's the time when we most directly turn our attention to the needs outside the door. It's a time where we remind ourselves what it's all about. I recently read this quote the other day, and it challenged me. You may have heard it before. I don't know who said it first, but it says, "The church that does not seek the lost is lost itself." I thought to myself, is that a true statement? Well, why did Jesus come? Luke 19:10 tells us why. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." If this is the mission of Jesus and it's not our mission, then yes, it's safe to say we've lost our way. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 9, verse 37, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." I'm not saying that hearing the teaching of Jesus and being in his presence isn't important. Of course, it's absolutely vital, but of equal importance is to have a heart that responds to the Lord with a yes to service. Which leads me to my second point, the life of service. You know it's a good message when all three of your points start with the same letter. The life of service. You know, sometimes when we think about serving and responding to the need at the door, we think about all the work, we think about all the inconvenience, and we fail to understand the life of service. As most of you know, I'll be heading to Uganda in July for our next gospel festival. For some, it may sound glamorous. Most of you know it has been my dream to do these festivals since I was a teenager, so you would assume that I would be just getting pumped about the next trip, right? Wrong. It's hard, stinking work. There's tremendous pressure involved. There are huge mind battles to fight. There is a spiritual struggle that most fail to understand. Physically and emotionally, it's exhausting. I've grown to hate those 12-hour plane rides. I have often gotten sick on these trips. The days can be long. The trip happens right at the beginning of July, the heart of summer in Saskatchewan. I'm so ready for summer. How about you? Sick of this winter. Right at July, 2 weeks of prime golf season. And that season is so short, you know this is the greatest hardship. I'm going to be missing a trip this year to Charlotte with my daughter, Charlotte, North Carolina, with my daughter, JL, who is representing Canada at an international flag football tournament. Pains me to not be there. The point is that it costs something to serve. And often we can't see beyond that, and so it's easy to say no. But church, there is something about experiencing the God of miracles in the going that makes you come alive on the inside. In the last verse we read in our story, it says this: "The man jumped up, took the mat, pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. Then they all praised God. We've never seen anything like this before," they exclaimed. Everyone is excited and praising God at the miracle, right? But I can promise you this. The four guys carrying the mat had a different kind of experience than anyone else present. Yes, they had the dirty hands. They had the tired shoulders. They had the sweaty backs. But they also had another level of joy and fullness in their hearts than those who had stood and watched. In sports, a crowd celebrates with their team in victory, but those who've actually competed on the field have a greater joy, and the victory has a deeper level of meaning because only they truly know the struggle. I wonder what kind of stories were shared and celebrated by those four guys afterwards. How long had they been friends of this man? How many times had they carried him around before this day? How many doctors had they hauled him to looking for a cure? Clearly, we can see from their attitude, these guys were intentional, motivated, passionate. Whose idea was it to take him to Jesus? Who was the one who made the suggestion? Why don't we just dig a hole in the roof? We can only wonder what it had cost them. One thing I know from experience, the greater the cost, the more joy in the victory. There's something else I've learned. There is a joy found in sharing an experience, a struggle, or a victory with someone else that's greater than when you're alone. Last year, I took my two oldest daughters to Uganda. Eden and Asia, they've heard my stories for years. I've told them in great detail, but going together was different. It was so fun for me to have them with me. Every night we celebrated together what we had seen and experienced together. Did you see that lady who who was lame and gave me her stick? Eden, I saw you down there in under the tent when the demons were writhing and manifesting, and I saw you casting them out. What was that like? It was so fun. Every night we celebrated together, even going on safari and showing them the beauty of Africa. I mean, I've seen the elephants and the giraffes and all those things so many times already in my life, but to have them beside me and seeing it for the first time and sharing it together was so much more enjoyable. So many times I've wished, oh man, I wish my kids could see this or my church could see this. I could transport you and put you in the middle of that crowd of 20,000 people who are dancing in celebration. There's nothing like it. The videos and hearing the stories are great, but nothing replaces being there and being a part of it. The connections made and the relationships formed through being in the trenches with someone creates bonds that give greater meaning to life. It's been true in my African experiences, but in all areas of ministry and service that I've been blessed to be a part of. And I found the same is true in my relationship with Jesus. Something happens in my relationship with the Lord when I have to lean on Him and step out in faith in Him. When I see Him help me and move through me, my confidence grows and my intimacy level with the Lord grows, and the level of joy that is found as I feel His pleasure is hard to explain. I usually weep. Lord, You used me. How wonderful that is. I think the joy of a shared experience works the same with the Lord as well. He loves to partner with us. Why? I think His joy level is increased as He gets to share Himself and the victory with those He loves. I've always loved the account in Luke 10 when the disciples of Jesus returned from a ministry trip with excitement. It says in verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use Your name." Yes, He told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I think He gave him a chest bump. He was pumped. There was a joy in a shared experience. When you respond to the call of Jesus and then experience his presence and experience his power working through you, who he is becomes paramount and tangible in a whole different way. You will never convince me that Jesus isn't who he says he is, because I have seen with my own eyes how he delivers people from the power of the devil. I have seen it. When we give God our yes and partner with him in those divine moments, our connections, that's when we come alive. The life found in service just doesn't compare to being a bystander and a consumer only. The joy of being a part of leading others to the God of miracles is greater than anything else you can experience in this life. My third and final point is this: the location of service. I think we would be missing something valuable if we didn't acknowledge the fact that it took at least four guys to get this paralyzed man to Jesus. The fact is, he never would have experienced the God of miracles without a team effort to get him there. My guess is that if we knew all the details, we would discover that this team was greater than four. Did someone build the frame that held the mat? Did someone sew the mat? Did someone say, well, I'm not strong enough to carry the mat. I'd love to carry the mat. I'm not strong enough to do it, but I have enough money to buy the rope. Who was the one who first suggested the idea or brought the news that Jesus was in town? There were four corners to that mat. For those four guys, one of those corners was their location of service. But I suspect that there were others. And by the way, they all would have shared in a deeper level of joy and connection than any of the bystanders as well. Here's my point. I believe that there is a corner of the mat that God has uniquely positioned and called each and every one of us to carry. The corner of the mat just represents the location of service that God is calling you to. When you respond to the call and avail yourself to service, you become a conduit and a way maker for someone to come to Jesus and be healed and transformed. Sometimes we get caught up in what we can't do and we miss what we can do. For example, it probably took four dudes with muscles to carry the mat, but as I mentioned, who sewed it? Who sewed the mat? Who purchased the supplies? When I think of Lift Evangelistic Ministries, I realize that my contribution as the preacher of the gospel is just one small corner of the mat. I can't do these festivals alone. I believe that God has gifted me and called me to preach the gospel. It's one of the reasons that Lift is successful. God gave me that gift. However, he did not give me the gift of administration. I don't have the local connections. I don't have a ton of personal finances. And so we need a team to help carry the mat. We need Anatoly's administrative and organizational abilities. We need Moses and Alex and Peter on the ground to make the connections. We need the generous support of wealthy individuals or the multiplied support of many giving what they can. We need an army of prayer warriors to clear the ground in the heavenly realms. We need a team of follow-up pastors to reach out to those who've given their lives to Jesus. Are you understanding my point? When hundreds and thousands come to Christ and the sick are healed and the bound are delivered, it took an army of people saying yes and carrying their corner of the mat to make it all happen. All are needed. Part of the goal of the Global Impact Celebration is to hear some frontline stories in order to be provoked for our own frontline stories. Some of the celebration will be to share in the joy of what we've been able to accomplish together with our partners. We're helping our partners carry the mat. But another aspect is to hear God's call to service in our own unique way. For some, the front line is in another country, but for some, the front line is right next door. The question is, what is the location of service that God is calling you to? What is the corner of the mat He's asking you to carry? Everyone has their own call, but make no mistake, there is a call for everyone. Church, in conclusion, I want to challenge us. Over these next few weeks, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes personally and open our eyes collectively to the location that God is calling us to serve. Can I tell you? Can I tell you some honest truth? We say, what would I do if I was there in front of Jesus and came to my attention that there was some needs outside the door? Would I respond? Make a way? Can I tell you the truth that right here in our own congregation we have needs that are being ignored? We're growing in attendance. I don't know if you've recognized that over the last number of weeks, getting harder to find a spot to park. We're growing in attendance, and we're struggling to keep up. Every Sunday for the last number of weeks, we've been turning away 20 or so children from Sunday school because we don't have enough teachers and workers. And so at some point we have to say, we're full. If we had more teachers, we could take more kids. Sometimes I wonder, what happens when a visitor comes and we can't take their kids in Sunday school? Will they come back? Every Sunday, there's a need at the door. Carrie Campbell tells me regularly, Joel, we have more people wanting life groups than we have leaders for. We have needs in almost every area. At the Global Impact Celebration, I'm telling you, we have a lot of needs. We need volunteers to pull off that event. What about in our city and neighborhoods? What are we not seeing? What are we ignoring? Church, this is a challenge to you and it's a challenge to me. That this is not a time for passivity and complacency. If you're a disciple of Christ, then you are called into service for such a time as this. When we respond, and when we say yes, I believe that we will experience the God of miracles personally, and we will become ones who make a way for others to do the same. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying. Father, I pray that today and next week and Global Impact Celebration, God, I'm asking that you would open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, and soften our hearts to respond. Lord, we can't even say yes to you unless you help us. Holy Spirit, would you send Harvest City Church into your harvest? Holy Spirit, would you send me? Send me. Push me. Inspire me. Provoke me. Lord, let the compassion that's on you come upon me. Because without it, my heart is too hard.
And it's too easy for me to put my fingers in my ears and to close my eyes. And so, Lord, I ask that you would soften my heart and provoke me. God, I pray that you would do something supernatural in this church where we become a church of doers, of workers, of goers. Yeah, we enjoy the presence of Jesus, but only to be filled up to do the work that he's called us to do. And we've learned how to practice the presence of Jesus as we go. Father, I pray that you would send us into this city, into this nation, into the nations of the world. God, I pray that we would have a global mindset, that we would make a global impact in all three spheres. Lord God, I pray that even in the coming weeks, that you would bring even some clarity to our own personal thinking. Where is my corner, Lord? What is the part of the mat that you've asked me to carry? What do you want me to do, Lord Jesus? Father, I pray even for a church, as a church, that you would globally and corporately show us exactly where you want us to be, who you want us to partner with, where we're to give our time, where we're to give our resources. Lord, we want to walk in step with you. We want to carry the corner of the mat that you've asked us to carry in our city, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. And so, Lord Jesus, we just invite you and give you permission to send us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Be blessed. Next week, I will not be here. I'm going to be in Minnesota this week speaking at the True Bridge Conference. I'm a keynote speaker. How about that? But my dad will be preaching next week, and he will inspire us, won't you? He hopes so. I know so. Have a great week, guys.
Hey, everyone. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.